Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video, find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. Whoa, we're actually starting the show this time. Okay. Hi. This is Knowing Is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
I mean, the important thing is that the hey, everybody came in small and cowardly and just like a teeny tiny mouse, and that's all I want. That's all I want out of life.
You want fear from some, love from others?
Tiny American flags for others, yes.
Well, this week we're not talking about G.I. Joe. Oh, who are you people? You didn't even say who you were.
Did we have to? Who?
I don't even know anymore, man.
First time. It's always, every episode is somebody's first time. I cannot express this enough.
Then we should ease them into it. We don't want to like brutalize them.
I want to brutalize everyone who listens to this show.
Yeah, they brutalize us, Chan. It seems only fair.
Look, if they've been here twice, then yes, absolutely deserve nothing but pain. But for the newbies, you know, I just want them to have a nice time.
Oh, that's
Listen,
sweet.
Robert Clark Chan, I can't believe you would say that. What do you think, TV's Gina Ippolito?
Gina Ippolito, that's me. Obviously, I think it's great.
God damn it.
I forgot the question.
Okay, now you know who the people on the show are because they will not say their own names. They'll say other people's names. Mm-hmm. What is happening? This is not going to go well.
Lou I think L. we're Cinder. All.
I'm still sort of angry after watching this, but we'll get there.
No,
this was a Patreon suggestion of this episode from Michael Albansolco, I believe.
Oh.
And it's called Science Court.
That was
Science Court, a show I did not know exists, but it is in our wheelhouse as it was out from what? 97
it's
to 2000.
Sir Monsterd, Ray. Jesus Christ. It's on calendar invite. You can look at it.
Yeah, but I don't read. Going to look now. One of you could vamp while I do that.
I want you to choke. Did you say choke or joke? Should we be making jokes or like asphyxiating ourselves?
Jokes about chokes.
So as I said, patron Sir Moxford. Moxie, thank you so much for being a part of the show. Science Court. What is happening? Why? Chan, I can tell right now you've been pent up and not able to do comedy for like 4 or 5 straight days.
I had a nice
Because you were coming in here and you're just a full-on tanky. I'm expecting you to say, let's give Ukraine to Russia in the next 5 seconds, to be honest with you.
Look, am I a leftist? Sure. Am I a radical leftist? Arguably. Am I a full-blown communist? I mean, maybe this Karl Marx beard tipped you off. Maybe.
There it is.
It's pretty impressive.
There it is, or ladies and gentlemen. This cartoon show was an educational show, I'm guessing, called Science Court, that was a Disney-created product. Which, a lot of interesting things about this show. I did not know it existed. Did you two know that this was a thing?
I didn't, but I knew, like, obviously, we all know about Squigglevision and Dr. Katz. The most famous show that was done in this style was Dr. Katz. Also, Home Movies was pretty good. There were some others, but those were the two that I knew.
Dr. Katz is more famous than Home Movies?
I think it is,
what
yes.
Are you talking
Thank
about?
You, Ray.
No, I'm... Here's the deal. I actually thought about this as I was watching it. Which one of those two shows is more famous? And the deal was Dr. Katz aired on Comedy Central and yes. then ported over to Adult Swim. And Home Movies was only a late night Cartoon Network Adult Swim show.
Yes.
And while I would say I enjoyed Home Movies more, I think they're both similar. And then Brendan Small, who brought us Home Movies, went on to do Metalocalypse.
This is why, I mean, for me personally, I'm like, yeah. Well, this is the jumping off point for one of the greatest animated creations of all time.
Yeah, I think more people probably saw Dr. Katz because that's like something yes. that I remember the ads for it. When it was on Comedy Central, I remember them like really pushing it hard. I remember that, you know, like it moved to a different network. Whereas Home Movies always felt like a cult thing that other comedians knew about, but like no one in the mainstream knew about.
Why do you think that mainstream people are listening to this podcast and not just super comedy nerd dork idiots?
I would say some of our listeners are mainstream. It's yeah. nothing to be ashamed of.
I want to brutalize those people.
No, there are normies in our crowd for sure. And here's the deal. We're here to welcome in normies, not just like nope. the comedically snippy.
Nope.
Sniffy, mm-hmm. you know, it's there it is.
I need the hipsters. I need the people who are super judgy and confrontational about it. I need the Steve Albini's of the world to come out and listen to this podcast.
Jen, don't you get enough of that from the Who Would Win show?
I mean,
because you seemingly people, don't want it there based on what you've said.
Here's the thing. If mm-hmm. they're there, I don't want them. Mm-hmm. If they're not there, then oh, by I all see. Means bring them.
This is part of Chan. If you haven't read Robert Clark's Chan new book,
Clark's
The Guide
Chan.
To Never Being Happy.
There's
that's why you probably should check it out.
When you talk
Robert
about our family,
Clark's Chan.
You don't say the Clark Chans are here. You say the Clark's Chan are here.
That's right. Oh, the Clark's Chan of Wimberley.
Mm-hmm. Wimberley.
Nah, that's the first word. That popped
it was
in
the
my
only
head.
Fancy word that Ray could invent.
You know, can I tell you, I had a really shitty boss once whose name was Wimberley. And I was thinking about that the other day about how much better life is now that I'm completely elsewhere.
Are you sure that you didn't just confuse fresh. Him with a Fraggle?
No, that's Wembley.
No, Robert I know Clark that it's Chan's Wembley. I'm Clark's assuming Chan. That you screwed it up in your head.
Oh, no, that's possible. Jen, you don't want to know what goes on up in here.
I do not.
Yeah, it's rough. It is rough. Anyway, Science Court is the name of the show. It does the squiggly vision, which how would you guys describe squiggly? I mean, obviously, if you've seen Home Movies, you've seen Dr. Katz, you kind of have a vibe. As soon as you see it, you're like, oh, it's that thing. But how would you describe it to somebody who's never seen one of those shows before?
It's actually, I looked it up. I looked up the Wikipedia page of how they did it because I was curious. And it's pretty interesting, like, because it was invented by this one animation studio, and it basically makes the outlines of characters and everything on screen wiggle, and it was specifically created because it basically looks like there's movement on screen, but there's not. So yep. in a normal cartoon, you might have like you want characters moving around because otherwise it feels static. In this, even when it is static, the outline, the lines that are outlining the face and the nose are moving, are squiggling. So it looks like there's motion even when there's not. So it's relatively cheap to produce, relatively quick to produce, and it's just constant squiggling of the black lines around everything in a cartoon.
And I would add one more thing to what you just said, is that there is nothing moving on screen. Generally speaking, there is minimal movement at any given time. And all three of the shows we mentioned, Science Corps, Dr. Katz, and Home Movies, they're basically, let's let a bunch of comedians just sort of improvise their way through scenes, and then the words will sell the show, the characters will sell the show, the animation will never sell the show, so let's just do the absolute bare minimum possible to not look horribly static. It is one step above Clutch Cargo.
I'm going to be honest, I was a big Dr. Katz fan. I even though, like, you know, I was seemingly, I don't know, I'm not sure who the audience was for a shoddily animated and drawn cartoon about a therapist.
Gene, it's the three of us.
Probably wasn't a 17-year-old girl.
No, it's...
Well, it absolutely.
All the comedy people. Yeah,
it was on Comedy Central, which sort of, like, gained prominence by just showing like a bunch of really cheap stand-up, you know, footage that was just, you know, studios had in their vaults and stuff. And so, you know, you develop this cadre of stand-up fans who then basically get to see reasonably famous comedians do their material in another context. Cause like the comedian would lay down on the, you know, sofa or whatever, and Dr. Katz would be like, so tell me, and it was like, well, you know, my mother, blah 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 blah, and then just like do their stuff, which was a really cool idea. I love the concept of it, and I always wish that they would bring it back in some way, just so we could, like, you know, just have like comedians just giving us new material.
Yeah, and it's not like this stuff's expensive to make, you know. I mean, I remember Dr. Katz came out in 95, this came out in 97, so there's your timeline. Home Movies was in the early aughts, I believe. And I remember Emo Phillips being on Dr. Katz, and being a fan of his, you know, obviously, and still am for that matter. Surprise. having him be on the show to me was like a really big, it like legitimized the entire operation for me personally.
Yeah.
And he was hilarious on it, and he was just doing his bits, and those bits are, and those bits, transferred very well to the format of Dr. Katz. I'll say that.
I'm also a fan of, the medium dictating the content, the fact that it was sort of tailor-made for just talking meant that it was all about the writing or the performing, you know, the interaction of the people that, almost certainly did have a strong element of improvisation to it.
I'm gonna be honest, like, so Ray chatted our, this is a look at how the sausage is made, Ray chatted our group chat and said, what the fuck is this cartoon? And I was expecting it to be really bad, and I hadn't watched it yet, and so I immediately started watching thinking it was gonna be awful. I saw right away, I said, oh, this is the Dr. Katz people. I looked at the Wikipedia page, and then I saw nothing but stand-up names. There's Paula Poundstone is one of the voices, H. John Benjamin, Fred Stoller. And while this cartoon is clearly made for very young kids because it's, and it is educational, it's, I still found it entertaining and funny. As entertaining and funny as you can find something that's like educational for like 8 year olds, basically.
This is the type of show they would wheel in because the teacher's sick and you got a sub. And so they would just play into your science class. They would play an episode of Science Court and no one would pay attention to it because it's just a bunch of squiggling lines talking to each other over and over again with no action.
Kinds of people in the world. They're the kind of people who were like fucking around when the teacher put on the Disney Math Magic episode, and then there are the people who focused and were into it and learned how to do like pool moves because Donald Duck was showing them. And you are clearly the former group, and I would have had nothing to do with you if I knew you in high school.
Can I tell you? I'm sorry.
High school.
To do with me
this
now.
Was not being shown in high school.
Or, no, not in high school.
Any school, any level of school.
Let me tell you, Donald Duck in Math and Magic Land, I love. I love it. I love it. I love it. I would watch it at home. It was incredible. And the second they wheeled it out, for school purposes. I was checked out and did not want to see it. That's the kind of person I am.
I consistently had talks too much in class on my report cards until I was about 18 years old. So I was the one who was trying to talk through movies.
And remember, she, notice how Gina said she had that on her report card until she was 18 years old, trying to imply that at that point she got her stuff together and stopped talking in class, when the reality is she just stopped getting report cards.
Yeah, exactly.
100%. Yeah. I used to get that in my report cards till a traumatic event in the fifth grade. And then all of a sudden, I turned into the monster that you see before you.
Wait, what happened in the fifth grade? How traumatic are we talking? Is this, you need to talk about it with your therapist, or perfect podcast fodder, like pooping the bed at night?
Kind of in the middle. Ooh. I don't know. It depends. Here's the thing. My notes for the show are painfully thin. So if we want to pad this thing out, sure, me I'll too. Talk about my childhood
no,
issues.
No,
well,
no.
You know what? Let's no save that reason for a that. Patreon special.
Well, are we going to bring back Know Your Joe? What are we going to do?
We're going to bring back Know Your Chan.
Oh, God.
Well, let's talk about the episode itself, because my first note is, oh, it's just like home movies. Great.
Yeah.
Second is, hey, this is very unpleasant animation. It is not fun to look at.
Wow.
Hard it's not fun disagree. To look at.
As soon as I saw this, when Mox brought it up, I was like, all right, I'll take a poke at this. And I looked, I was like, this is Squiggle Vision? What? And then I looked it up, because I was like, I didn't even know that this existed. Because, yeah, I love Squiggle Vision. And I was like, yeah, fuck it. We're going to do this cartoon. I'm so into it. And, I don't know.
What I liked about home movies is, I think I was typically drunk when I watched it. Oh, and I didn't need the Squiggle Vision. The lines were already moving.
It was in Squiggle Vision, first of all, home movies. I disagree. I here's the thing. After the amount of cartoons we've done on this show that are so by the books, and so I like the fact that this animation style is grotesque. Like, the scene where they show people in the jury, I paused it to look at every fucking freak in there. Because in a normal commercial, it would be the same character design with just slight changes, right? Like, that's sort of the G.I. Joe method. You use basically the same skin, but you change the skin tone slightly, or you change the hair slightly, the video game method of like picking a skin. And then in this cartoon, everyone in the audience is a fucking different kind of freak. And I am into it. It's very strange. And anything that takes a big swing, especially in kids animation, anything that isn't like, oh, it's going to all be cute, it's going to all be the same, it's going to all be homogenous, I'm into.
You know,
as a parent, I watch so many just garbage, and they're not even necessarily like bad animation, I guess. I mean, like, technically they move around and they do things, but they just look so bland. And, you know, so yeah, like when I see there's a fucking human sized flame in the jury box, like just a flame with eyes. No explanation. We're not going to talk about it. Just one of the jury members happens to be made of fire. Like, that's awesome.
All right. That is pretty good. I'm not going to lie. That's pretty good.
Taking big swings. And I appreciate it. Also, like, kids need to watch more weird shit. I feel like the 80s was like, there were a lot of weird kids movies, but a lot of the cartoons were very homogenous. And then going into the 90s, it became sort of more homogenous. And then late 90s, they were like, what if we start getting weird?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're absolutely right. The 90s were very homogenous. The aughts started getting weirder. Late 90s started getting weirder. The 70s and 80s were height of weird, though. I would argue today, I think it's gone back to being a little bit more homogenous. Not that there aren't examples. Clear examples out there of
I think
weird
it's the fact that, I mean, I can tell you from the inside what's going on. It's the fact that more and more networks are doing away with what's called the kids and family yep. umbrella, and a lot of the shows nowadays are under the Disney umbrella, and they choose not to really do weird because yep. they want it to be watched by the highest number of the lowest common denominator at all times. So yeah. whereas there used to be sort of many different networks and things like that trying this, it's, you know, monopolies, baby.
Yeah. Disney animation does not take a lot of risks these days, except when you consider the fact that they have, oh shoot, that's not Disney, is it? I was about to say when they have Elmo, Abby, and Cookie Monster as robots who solve crimes.
Yeah.
But that's not Disney. So here's the deal. Good. Apparently Zaslav. Got to give him some credit where it's due, I guess.
I doubt we do.
That was
before his reign. That was before his reign. He would never allow that.
He's one of the people that's hacking away at kids and family right now.
Oh, yeah. Jesus. Yeah, he is.
What a jerko. So one of the problems I had with this show is they just repeat themselves a lot. They kind of just go in circles. You can tune out for 2 or 3 minutes and come back.
That's how kids TV works. That's how kids learning TV works. You need to repeat it because otherwise you get people who grow up into Rays.
I want kids' educational television to lose me. I want to not understand what's happening. I was able to very often, in fact, tune out. Tune back in and realize literally I've missed nothing at all. And the animation is so boring, I'll say it, that I was just bored to tears by the show. I checked the timer. I do this a lot during episodes where the show isn't hooking me. And I find the moment where the show is just like, are we done yet? And I press the button and I was 2 minutes and 32 seconds into this show. And I was already ready to jettison myself. I did not want any part of it.
I'll say this. As the show started, I was kind of in the same boat. I was like, okay, well, this is taking a while. And then they finally got to Science Court, which I kind of thought would like start right away. But at 5 minutes and 50 seconds in, so, you know, like almost a third of the way through before they get to the meat of it, everything else before then was set up. I was like,
it's all preamble.
Damn, this is slow, but... The moment I heard Paula Poundstone's voice, I was like, boom, dialed in.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you know what? I also very much recognize, I'll say it too, I recognize Paula Poundstone's voice immediately. I am a big fan of her stand-up from back in the day.
Oh, so much.
Great stand-up, great talent. And also, so when I heard her, I bought back in a little bit. That is true. That is a true statement. Yes.
I will say, you know, the when we get to the courtroom scene, the stenographer whose name is Stenographer Fred is Fred Stoller, who if you're a fan of Seinfeld, he played a character on that show named Fred who could not remember who Elaine was. And she ends up going on a very boring date with him because she's kind of into the fact that he can't remember her. And I just love the fact that in Seinfeld, he was Fred. He's a stand up. He's a very Jewish New York stand up. Like that's his thing. That's always the characters he plays, and they are always named Fred. They always just have his first name. And here again in this cartoon, they name him Stenographer Fred. And I just like the fact that I think what happens with this dude is his friends are like, hey, I sold a TV show. And he's like, can I be on it? And they're like, yeah, sure. What kind of character do you want to play? And he's like, exactly myself. And someone named Fred. And they're like, yeah, all right. You just want to come on and like sort of do your stand up. And he's like, yes, I am not a good actor. I just want to play myself and I'll nail it.
That's the fucking dream. Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm telling you. And I looked him up because I was like, I specifically know him from this one episode of Seinfeld, but I know he's been in other stuff. He's also in Everybody Loves Raymond.
That's
his other big thing, yeah. He's also Fred the Squirrel in The Penguins of Madagascar.
You guys, here's the deal, Gina. Let me cut you off before you cut me, before you say it, before I can. Because apparently he was in a horror comedy movie called Blood Lake, Attack of the Killer Lampreys in 2014. This cast, Shannon Doherty, Christopher Lloyd, a few people I don't fully recognize, but I bet work a lot, and Fred Bleepin Stoller. And it's on Tubi for free right now. Yes, I will be checking this out before the next time we record.
I also like it also said he wrote two episodes of Seinfeld, which is just like, who is this guy? I think he's just in the New York stand-up scene. And whenever he needs a job, his friends give him jobs. And that's kind of cool.
You know what? I do remember in the early Comedy Central, he was all over Comedy Central. I believe he hosted a show on there. His stand-up was always on early Comedy Central. Like he was, you know, I knew of him a lot from kind of that era because he was just always on television.
Yeah, I love once they make it to court and I was like, hell yeah, Paula Poundstone, the guy who played Fred in that one episode of Seinfeld. I don't care what they're talking about. I'm on board because I bet it's going to be weird and funny.
That was the point, too, where I just sort of clicked into the speed of the whole thing. Because it does, I mean, honestly, I didn't know it was Disney. I thought it was a PBS show, which has often sort of that same sort of rhythm. I was you know what? We don't have to like go banging around at 1,000 miles an hour. We're just going to be chill. We're going to Bob Ross this shit. And we're just going to, you know, just teach you some stuff, yeah, man. Just kick back. You're going to learn now. Doesn't that feel nice? Yeah.
I need a certain pace these days.
You need to drink fewer Pepsi Maxes.
Yeah, yeah, okay, you do. Well, I mean, that's just good life advice.
I'll be asleep if I do that. So here's the preamble. Here's what we're filling in. There's a movie star played by a very subdued H. John Benjamin, whose voice took me a sec to pull together.
I didn't even realize it.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
The entire thing didn't realize it.
Yeah.
I was looking for him because I'm like, squiggle vision. Obviously, he's got to be here somewhere.
Wait, he's not the... No, H. John Benjamin isn't the movie star.
I believe that he is. I could look up the thing. But it sure hit me like he was. I'll look it up. But in the meantime, he's big in this small town. He's invented a plaque of himself and invited everyone to celebrate himself, which is sort of funny. He says, I want everyone to see this plaque. Turn on the lights. Turn on all the lights. Everyone complains it's super hot in this theater. It's so not, hot.
I'm pausing to tell you you're wrong. Bill Broadus.
Who does the voice of the
Bill
guy?
Bill Broadus. H. John Benjamin was the professor.
I just thought he played a bunch of roles in there.
No, okay. Bill Broadus is the one who plays the movie star.
Well, there
Thank
you go.
Thank you.
And Bill Broadus, of course, the world famous Bill Broadus. How could I forget?
Frequently mistaken for H. John.
He's also a stand. He's mainly known as a stand-up. He used to have a lot of late night show appearances. So he's also a stand-up.
Yeah.
And he also appears in all the Soup to Nuts programs.
That makes sense.
Yeah, he's
got a good voice
in
he
Dr.
does.
Katz. He played Dr. Myers. Yeah. He also wrote for all those shows. So yeah, but because I was also listening for H. John Benjamin and didn't
so
hear
funny.
Him until the courtroom scene.
I definitely recognize him as the doctor. I really thought it was him doing the other thing. Well, here's the deal, everybody. You found it. Ray got one wrong.
lots of ones
play,
wrong.
Play the
you
music.
You said it with such authority without even bothering to look it up. You said, and this is H. John Benjamin.
Gina.
And then you moved along. That is some peak white guy shit right there.
I'm a tall white guy. What do you think? I'm going to say things without authority?
That's what we're here for. As soon as we hear that tone, you're like, no. Hold on.
My favorite is when I do that, I often do not know if I'm actually correct. What I love is when y'all look me up and it turns out I am right. That one out of every 5 times, that's what I live for.
One out of every 48 times.
I say 5, you know, it's very much clearly closer to 5. See, I'm doing it again. Here. How about that? Anyway, all the lights are on. It's very, very hot. And the plaque falls out of the frame and it lands on the movie star, which takes us to science court because a lawyer shows up and says, we're suing science court.
I do just want to like take a moment to just like soak up some of the amazing names in this episode, like J.C. Cramwood, like one of the characters is named Mrs. Kremple. I don't know what it is, but just Kremple just sounds like a great word.
Dr. Fullergast. Oh, I was going to say Dr. Fullergast.
Also, like, one of the characters has the voice of a child, and it's never addressed, and it's so weirdly cool.
Yep, that's Dr. Bean.
Yes. They said Dr. Bean, and then he comes up, and he's like, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, is that a child who's also a doctor, or is it just a doctor who sounds like a child? Because I'm on board either way.
I think it's a child expert.
I'm into it.
Yeah. I liked it. Oh, were there any other names, Chan, before I cut you off again?
No. You can just go through and all of the names are fantastic.
That's great. No, obviously comedy people are behind all of this because there's a lot of little touches that you could just, if you know, you know, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, what I like about this is that, like, you know, I feel like the people making the show, like, look, you're not going to turn down money. But you know, some people might not consider an educational kids show sort of their dream writing job. I'm sure there are a lot that do, but these people had fun with it. These mostly like East Coast stand-up comics were like, hey, we're going to do an educational kids show. So wherever we can, let's make it weird.
Oh, well, also here's the thing. Like the production company was Tom Snyder's company. And
he invented Squigglevision.
He's just like, wait a minute. Are we talking about the same Tom Snyder?
I don't believe that we are. Maybe we are.
Hey, you know Tom Snyder, nope. What are you doing? That guy, right? We're all talking about that guy.
I was thinking of the late night host, Tom Snyder.
Oh, and yeah.
Oh, yeah. Clearly, he's, you know, like branching out. He's doing some stuff for the community. Nope. It's just a guy, an animator who has a very common name.
This is what's also what's really wild to me is that Tom Snyder is seemingly still alive. Yeah. He's very, very old. And has been around for a long time. He was almost 50, well, 45. He was basically, you know, the age of a podcast host when he first got a Squigglevision show on television, near as I could tell, right? Which is crazy to me that he has this thing, and it took him until he was like 45, 46 years old to finally like land it.
Ray, I've got some information for you on the average age of people who sell shows in Hollywood.
Oh, boy. Well, the thing is they've sold a lot of shows before that age, haven't they?
Ray, no, they have not.
Oh, snap.
The people on screen are very young and vital. People making the show
are very young and vital. I've seen a lot of shows about TV writers, and they all seem very young, vibrant.
There is not a television writer that isn't a wizened old crone.
Well, that's fair. Now I'm sad.
How you doing,
Jay? Anyway, cutting to Sonja Sondheim, who is the artist who created the plaque. She's being sued for a faulty plaque. She put the wrong size plaque in the frame. And if found guilty, she has to create a 200-foot life-size statue of Mr. Cramwood as her punishment.
I really like the way that she says, I need to create a life-size statue. 200 feet, which is not life size. And I just, the line delivery is so dry. And it's something that like a kid wouldn't know. If you said life size 200 foot statue, no kid is going to be like, well, that's not life size. And I just love that they keep it in.
If found guilty, you will make a life size statue of J.C. Cramwood that is 200 feet high. That's not life size.
That's funny.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah, I like it.
That's a good read. That's a talented performer right there is what that is. I had just wrote here very early on before we even get there. I'm like, yeah, it was hot. It popped out. That's what happens. I'm smarter than this show.
Nope. I don't like that because I feel like you're not talking about materials like metal and wood. You're just like, whew, it's hot out here. I'm going to pull my dick out. Oh, much better.
Yeah, that's how it works. Unless there's sunlight, in which case you want to be very careful about that.
And speak for yourself, white man.
I mean, I'm the whitest. What are we talking about? But I also recognize that when it's very, very hot out, often my doors get like stuck in the jams because it's hot and they expand and it's not good.
So more often, like, that's a humidity issue, not so much as much.
So you whip it out.
Mm-hmm.
And you pry the door open
and just pop your dick in there.
Yeah, just pop it right open.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video. Find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Strawberry shortcake, and it's too sweet. Their pretend kisses make kissing a treat.
Each sold separately.
Baby strawberry shortcake, give your mommy a kiss. I love you, baby orange blossom.
When you squeeze their tummies, they blow sweet-scented make-believe kisses.
Delicious baby angel cake. Time to get ready for your nap. Don't you just love them to pieces?
Baby strawberry shortcake and baby orange blossom and baby angel cake, each sold separately.
Back to G.I. Joe.
Let's go to science court, everybody. They they lay out the case, and then they ask. I'm assuming there are commercial breaks or station breaks or something, because they often say, let's talk to the kids in the classroom, or let's ask the other scientists, what do they think of these ideas? And then they would do that and then immediately just cut back to the show. I have to imagine when watching this in class, you pause the show, you have a conversation, and then you go back to it, which we did not have the pleasure of doing while watching this today. But they asked the question, are things made of particles or are they solid mass? Which, like this, even I know this. Like, come on, kids. If Ray knows it, you should probably know it.
One would hope.
And this is what also goes to is Dr. Bean. I just wrote here, a kid doctor. I love it. I love the idea of this kid. This is like that landlord sketch from Will Ferrell. If you haven't seen the landlord Will Ferrell sketch, it's a little old. This is old internet stuff. Go check that out. It's fun. It's a landlord asking for the rent money and being a hard ass about it, except it's played by like a 5-year-old girl.
Well, the heat from the lights cause the particles that make up the plaque.
Objection.
Dr. Bean. It's cute.
I like that.
Yeah, I enjoyed this character.
We learned a science lesson about atoms here and about how everything is composed of atoms.
I really like the lawyer. You know, it's slightly different than the trope of like the lawyer that doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, he sort of doesn't know what he's doing, but he just... Yeah, I just like this character because it's slightly different. It feels like a character you'd see in a sketch. He keeps objecting, even though sometimes he's not really sure what he's objecting about. And then it sort of devolves into this like, if the jury didn't hear what you just said, then maybe my client will be found innocent, which is
that was
fun
bit. I love it. He goes, I object to all four of those things because it looks bad for my case if the jury hears them.
Yeah.
I thought that was very fun.
I enjoy this. I like, because like it is a sort of how do you make a science lesson about heating metal and particles fun. And this lawyer is trying everything he can. And when he can't try anything any further, he just devolves into, well, I would like the jury not to listen to this next part.
Yeah. It was a good bit. I will give it credit for that. They say, let's have a demonstration of what happens when you heat up metal. So let's take it to a smaller room that will not take as long to heat up. So let's go to the judge's chambers. So we're going to take everybody in this large courtroom and shove them into the judge's chambers and make the room very, very hot. And this is where I just wrote, the show's very boring. This is a very boring show. Now, I will say the second half was at least more interesting than the first half, but this is not my cup of tea. I was not happy watching this.
Basically Law and Order. It's like a courtroom drama.
I love Law and Order, though. Give me iced tea in a courtroom any day and I'm happy.
Ice-T is usually not in the courtroom. He's a cop in the Law and Order series, which clearly you've never seen.
Relax. Ice-T is great anywhere. It's a refreshing drink that
can... Stop it. Gina, I will have you know, I've watched hundreds of episodes of Law and Order SVU, and my favorite part is when Ice-T, because he doesn't ever testify in court, or very rarely, I like it when he's sitting in the courtroom and things happen on the stand he doesn't like, and then you'll cut to Ice-T and his eyes will get all big and he'll start like staring around like, oh, that is a highlight of any SVU episode.
Okay.
Big fan. And if you haven't seen John Mulaney's bit about Ice-T on SVU, his stand-up comedy on it, YouTube that too. Make some notes, everybody. I'm giving you homework.
We've all seen the John Mulaney
line. I guarantee the normies in this audience, and rest assured, yes, it's a lot of comedy fans, but there are normies out there too, are not aware of what I'm talking about and need it in their lives. You're welcome. okay. So they do the demonstration and the metal, like the burn, something happens that shows a reaction. So they go back to the courtroom and I am thoroughly bored. Watching a bunch of poorly animated characters complain about how hot it is for 2 straight minutes. Just not my cup of tea when none of them are moving. Excuse me. They're squiggling, but they're not moving.
Whew. So you hate South Park too? Because they don't move a bunch.
I think South Park, I'll say this right now, controversial statement. South Park has been a net negative on the world.
You need to stop listening to people on the internet.
No, it's something I felt a long time ago. And then like it took 10 years and the internet caught up to where I was at. That's where I'm at. I remember the first few seasons, a lot of fun. But the nihilistic way that they both sides everything to me gets very boring. And honestly, it leads to a worse world. And I'm not a fan of that. I think the show doesn't have to necessarily be a net positive. But I think when you actively encourage people to think that caring about your ultimate survival isn't cool, I think you get a bunch of nihilists out there or pretend nihilists who make a worse place for all of us and exacerbate climate change because caring about climate change isn't cool.
I don't know if you've ever been to high school, but it is basically 100% nihilists.
I stopped listening to you a while ago.
Disagree. I was politically active when I was in high school.
Oh God, I can't imagine. I can't even imagine.
High school and college was like height of like Ray shaking hands with presidents and going to rallies and making signs and going to UAW halls to see Al Gore speak in the year 2000. Oh, I did all the things. High school is a time when you should care about things because as soon as you get out in the real world and the deadness hits your insides, that's when you're supposed to stop caring about things. If you stop caring about things when you're 13, then everything's going to poop.
All right.
That's more than I was expecting to get out of this. So thank you, Chan. Let's do it. Dr. Fullergast is a witness and not Dr. Full of Gas, which honestly made me laugh. I'll say it. I did laugh at that because I'm 5 years old. If the frame and the plaque are both being heated, they would both expand, which is the question that the silly lawyer and for the prosecution is arguing. And he says, okay, stop talking. But then they bring out Professor Parsons, who says, yes, they do expand, but at different rates. So therefore, the frame would not expand to the same rate as the plaque would. You see where we're going?
Hold on a sec.
Professor, let's start at the beginning.
What do you want to know?
That what do you want to know is H. John Benjamin, but they pitched his voice up much higher. So that's why I don't think any of us recognized it at the time.
Oh, okay. Okay. I like that. At this point, I'm like, the show's got to be over, right? I look and there's like 6 more minutes to go. Like, we've proven the point. We're done here. Except that silly lawyer has one more trick up his sleeve. And this is where he gets very fun. And I would say this is my favorite part of the episode. He says, Sonia Sondheim, isn't it true that you dropped the plaque on his head by intentionally doing shoddy work because you are in love with him and your love was unrequited? And she's like, no, none of that is true. He says, well, I went to your flat and I found a bunch of pictures of him on your wall. And I did like her reply to that, which is, she says, do you remember that? And she's, do you have that sound drop, Chan? Because it's a great line read again.
You have pictures of Cramwood on your wall because you're in love with him. And I figure when Cramwood didn't respond to your advances, you vowed revenge, which came in the form of a brass plaque falling on top of his head in front of hundreds of fans eating cheese and crackers. Isn't that right?
No, that's not right.
Nailed it.
No, but explain. The next line was my favorite part.
I have pictures of him on my wall because I was carving his face into the brass plaque. I needed to know what the guy looked like.
Now, where was the part where she says,
But then when you saw a couple of pictures of Cramwood on my wall, you went skipping out the door singing, I'm going to win, I'm going to win.
That made me laugh. I thought that was very fun.
That was pretty good.
I like that. Honestly, this entire closing arguments thing was my favorite part of the whole episode. I'm sad they sandbagged it for like 19 minutes before getting to the part that was honestly like there were. I actually did laugh a little bit before that, which to be fair, as much as I found this show pretty boring and not interesting to look at, it made me laugh more than most cartoon shows. This is in the top 10% of cartoons as far as evoking actual laughs from me. So maybe I should be giving it more credit than I am.
I'm saying.
The jury has reached a verdict.
Jury, do you have a verdict?
We do, Your Honor.
Okay, let's hear it.
We, the defendant, find the jury.
What?
I mean, the jury. We, the jury, find the jury. Oh, wait.
Hold it. It's we, the jury.
Right.
We, the jury.
We, the jury.
Find the defendant.
Find the defendant.
Guilty or not guilty.
Guilty or not guilty.
No, you tell me, guilty or not guilty.
Guilty or not guilty.
No, pick one.
Oh, we find Sonia Sondheim not guilty of making a bad plaque.
Very. It's a good bit.
I think that might be Benjamin again.
You think that's H. John Benjamin again?
With the pitch gone way up.
Maybe.
Oh, I like how Gina looks it up when I say it.
I mean, listen, there's a thing called IMDb. You can all look it up.
I mean, IMDb doesn't show the information for this episode.
That's strange.
Because nobody cares.
Wait a minute. That's strange. If IMDb doesn't show this episode, how did Gina prove me wrong earlier?
Because no, they show it, but they... Yeah, they only list the cast for like 5 episodes.
And this just happened to be one of them?
No, you were talking about a main character on the show. The actor character is a main character on the show. So, of course, the Wikipedia page has who voiced him.
This conversation is harder to follow than Apple TV's The Foundation.
I do appreciate that you keep coming up with new shows that you have no comprehension of to replace every once in a while. Just keep it fresh.
The thing is, if I can't follow it, it's bad storytelling.
That is not true.
That is the most accurate.
And that is actually one of the more infuriating things about writing for network TV is that they make you spell everything out because there might be some idiot watching who doesn't get it.
And see,
one of the best things about streaming is that they don't make you pander to idiots.
So what happens? Hearing they put shows out there that Ray can't follow. Great job, streamers.
I wish every show was a Ray that was a show that Ray can't follow.
We need to make sure that everybody knows that Gina is very much in favor of Netflix and whatever it is that they want to do with contracts.
Oh, wow.
Gina is just a hardcore, dyed-in-the-wool Netflix stan.
You don't know this. Gina's been out. If you've been following Gina's social media, she's been out on the picket lines for WGA like every single day for like a very long time. But what she doesn't show you is she's there on the side of the streamers. She's got signs up saying, just sign the deal. Just give them Ukraine. That's what they say. And it's crazy to me. It is crazy to me that nobody talks about the fact that Gina is a class traitor to all the writers in favor of the streamers. Why did they let her walk around with that? I don't know.
I'm just wondering why she was telling the WGA to give them Ukraine.
Well, at this point, give them Ukraine has become a euphemism for just give up and allow them to do whatever they want.
I see. Okay.
It's a real give them Ukraine situation, right? It holds up. If you don't think about it.
I won't.
And then there's a song. Did we talk about the song?
We didn't.
Can we play a little bit of the song? Because this is not a show that needs a song.
Well, I mean, honestly, the fact that there is no music during the kind of all the rest of it, often, generally, there's like a score or something going on in the background.
There's no incidental music. I remember Dr. Katz at Home Movies, I remember, had incidental music. There's none here. I didn't notice.
This is like, you should have a song in a kid's educational show. You gotta like to help them memories.
I like when she says, "Are you ready for your closing number?" I mean, arguments.
Solid things seem solid, but look closer and they're not. The particles inside are moving, especially when it's hot.
And so on and so forth.
No, I did not care for this. I mean, wrote here the song. No.
It's not a great song, but like it's not there to, it's not supposed to be a banger.
Listen, I at least try to make a banger, at least try to do something interesting. That's my biggest problem with this show. When they're getting it right, it's fun and it keeps my attention. When they are just farting around and they're not finding it, it is level one improv, friends show for 90 minutes. That's the feeling I get when this show is fumbling. It is not fun.
Well, agree to
take that level one. That'll teach you to try new things.
Nobody's supporting you on this one, Ray. Mm-mm.
It's just dead silence.
I have some very unpopular thoughts on improv as a viewable art form that I will keep to myself because obviously I'm getting no support for it here. When I'm on Rogan, that's all we're going to talk about.
Looking forward to it.
Could you imagine if I went on the Joe Rogan Experience?
I can actually imagine.
I could too. The problem is I just call him dumb. I just make fun of him for being dumb. And then I'd never be asked back because he'd try to fight me.
I feel like if he tried to fight you, he would, and you would lose.
Be murdered. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, look, he's tiny. I mean, look, I do have the height advantage on him, so my only chance would be to grapple and just try to fall to the ground and hope other people break it up.
The fact that you are this deluded is truly insane.
Fortunately, he's a puncher. What are you talking? Oh, no, he is an MMA guy, isn't he? Oh, no, yes. I'd be in trouble. No, I'd be in trouble. You're right. He's not a puncher.
Famously an MMA guy and has been for literally since he was on news radio in the 90s.
Yeah, you're
it's
exactly
like
right.
It's like whole thing why dudes are like, yo, that bro is more fit than you, bro.
No, and I mean, to be fair, he's a tubby. He's a little tubby guy, but, you know, he's done so many substances. I'm sorry, performance enhancers that he still has plenty of muscle left over.
I don't know how, but I think that this interaction is somehow going to lead to more weirdos listening to this podcast and then messaging me.
Oh, I think that's great. Yeah. I love that they're not messaging me. They're only messaging Gina.
Yep.
I 100% Ray's like, Joe Rogan's a piece of shit. And they're like, hey, who's that girl? What's she talking shit about Joe Rogan?
No, I mean, to be fair, I didn't say he was a piece of shit. He is, but like, I just said he was dumb, which he is.
Well, cool.
Get ready,
Gina, I can't believe you just said that.
Feel free to send any messages to my I was trying to think of any social media app I'm not on, but I'm currently on all of them.
To be fair though, you're never going to use Blue Sky again, so just send it to Blue Sky. Find her on there, send it. Guys, Threads isn't bad.
Blue Sky and Threads are exactly the same.
Because I'm on Threads.
Oh, yeah. So that's why you don't like Blue Sky, because you haven't gotten an invite yet.
Yeah, the fact I need an invite, I shouldn't need an invite. Look, I'm TV's Almighty Ray, and I think I should already be. I should be one of the first 10 people on any site, basically.
Well, I'm on Blue Sky, so.
Yeah, it took this long. Obviously, something's not working. Yeah, Blue Sky, I don't know. Threads seems like the one that's actually going to get used.
I posted one thing on Blue Sky today, and it already has 10 likes and a comment, which is not bad for a brand new app that I've been on for a matter of hours.
That is a true statement. I would say that your Threads posts get like 30 likes, though, and I'm insanely jealous every time I see it,
because
I get nothing.
I haven't logged into Threads in weeks. Let me see what's going on over there. Oh, yeah, I do have. I'm doing some good numbers.
Yeah. Maybe Gina's more popular than I am. Maybe I just need to come to grips with that.
And this is why the Joe Rogan stands message me and not you.
You've had 8 years to figure that out, Ray.
No, are you kidding me? If we didn't have Gina on this show, we'd be in trouble. I've said that. Jen, how many times have you heard me say that?
I mean, we have Gina on the show and we're in trouble. We could be both.
Yeah, it'd be way worse. Oh, man. Anyway, that is whatever the F this is called. Science Court. Science Court, everybody. Did not know it exists. Could have lived my whole life not knowing it exists. But here it is. Science Court.
I am generally in favor of this.
Same.
Of the three Squiggle Vision shows I know, this is the third.
Well, it's the one not made for adults, Ray. So that would make sense, Ray.
To be fair, based on what you feel about what I understand, shows made for small children should be more in my wheelhouse than things made for adults, right?
So the fact that it's losing me...
Says it all.
But the word educational is in there, though, and that is not in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, you put the word science in the name of your show, and I'm already in trouble. Don't much care for that science. I love the idea of it. Don't need to learn it. Mm-hmm. That's what smart people are for. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we've done this episode. We've got more G.I. Joe coming up, I believe, the next 2 weeks. Look out for anybody who's in Los Angeles. There's a Category 4 hurricane, and none of us know what to do. Literally, no one here in Los Angeles knows what to do with that information.
I know what to do. Nothing.
Nothing.
Is this going to come out before the hurricane hits?
It's probably going to come out mid-hurricane if I have my way. It's going to come out Monday if you get it to me.
Enjoy that lovely valley flooding, everybody. You can listen to this show as you float down Lancashire.
Right towards the Pacific Ocean. And wash out to sea in your Winnebago. That's what's going to happen here. So look out for that. Otherwise, you know, you can find us many different places online. Facebook.com/KnowingIsHalfThePodcast. You can find us on Twitter, I guess. I'm still posting on there sometimes, at G.I. Joe Podcast. Although we should really make a Threads for this show. I think that's what the people really want. Threads, everybody. You go to patreon.com/KnowingIsHalfThePodcast and join there if you want to support the show because you for whatever reason, like us. That's a thing. Gina, I'm sorry, I cut you off. You had something to say?
No.
Chad, you got anything to add?
Yes.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsy, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video, find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.